Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's great to be with you, and thank you for hanging around with us. If you've just tuned in, welcome aboard. We got some really important stuff coming up straight ahead with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman. Rosaline has been with us many times before. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she works with organizations and individuals all over the world to help them be their best possible ever. And she does that by helping them understand what she calls optimal thinking. Dr. Glickman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back.
Now, my audience, probably, I'm sure most of them have heard you define optimal thinking before. But we may have picked up a station or two since and probably a few listeners since you were on the last time. And so for those folks, why don't you help us understand what optimal thinking is and how it differs from, say, positive thinking?
Okay. So optimal thinking is the language of your best self. It empowers you to be your best and stops you from settling for second best. It's the difference between taking a good action as compared to taking the best action. It's the difference between looking at what's important as compared to what's most important. It's the difference between managing a situation and making the most of a situation. It's that peak form of thinking which we all use when we're giving life our best shot.
So optimal thinking is positive thinking on steroids. Is that what you're saying?
it's been called the successor to positive thinking. The reason being that although positive thinking motivates us to be successful, productive, and competent, it has 5 shortcomings. And I enumerate those in the first chapter of my book. But, for example, one shortcoming of positive thinking is that positive thinkers often suppress and ignore negativity, and they don't want to hear the good news. They don't want to hear the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas optimal thinkers we embrace all forms of thinking, all negativity, anything that is,
so
and we optimize it.
So optimal thinking is more realistic than positive thinking.
Well, positive thinking, that's a second shortcoming of positive thinking, that positive thinkers are often wishful thinkers, and whereas optimal thinkers, look at what is and say, well, what's the best thing I can do about it? Positive thinkers often just hope for the best, and that can lead to disaster when the cost of failure is high. I mean, you do not want to be driving along the highway without a spare tire in your car. Right?
Right.
And just be saying, hey, just be positive, everything will work out fine. The optimal thinker will say, hey, this could be disastrous if I'm driving along the highway or not too good. And so I'm going to carry a spare tire in my car, or I'm going to back up, my computer so that I'm not going to lose my data, rather than hoping that everything turns out fine.
Well, the pilgrims had a saying. They could call it "trust in God, but keep your powder dry."
if the cost of failure isn't high, optimism is a wonderful strategy because it fuels persistence. But if the cost of failure is going to be impactful, then, you want to look at what's the worst thing that can happen and have your optimal contingency plan against it.
Well, one of the things that positive thinking seems to do maybe is to, and obviously I think that you're not saying anything anything wrong with positive thinking, but you have to take it to the next level and go to optimal thinking, which is what you're telling us.
What I am saying is that positive thinking is wonderful, but it does have five shortcomings, mm-hmm. which if we overcome them, you know, and we know that we recognize them, we're not going to get trapped by them, and we're going to move on. Just like negative thinking, people think negative thinking is all bad, but negative thinking actually is valuable too. Negative
right.
thinking cautions us against imminent danger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we see a problem, if we have a problem in our business, you know, the best thing that can happen is that a customer complains
right.
so that we can rectify
it. We can deal with it. Rosalind,
exactly.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking, right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why they don't explode.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. And we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman. And Rosalind, that music's for you.
Thank you.
It's our anniversary.
Oh, it is?
It's our third anniversary. How about that?
I'm delighted to hear. Third anniversary of what?
Of you being on the show.
Oh, it is.
It's our third anniversary. That's right.
It is.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you.
And the flowers will be delivered a little bit later this morning.
Oh, I'll be delighted to receive them. Most delighted.
We appreciate the 3 good years that you've given us to help us understand this concept of optimal thinking, and we appreciate you.
I love being on the show. I truly do. Jim, you're the greatest.
Well, I appreciate it. Rosalind, talk to us about how to perform what you call an optimal thinking audit.
Well, basically, it's about determining how much of our thinking is in our best interest. How much of the time are we using this peak form of thinking to say things like, what's the best way to handle this, or what's my highest priority right now, or what's the best opportunity we can act upon right now, or who are our most valuable employees, and, you know, what are the best tasks, you know, or best resources we can provide for them. How often we use this peak form of thinking. And so what we've devised is an assessment, and we have it on we have a simple version of it on and free on our website at optimalthinking.com. And basically, what you can determine what thinking you have. For example, some people think optimally a small amount of the time, maybe 5 or 10% of the time, but they invest most of their time in extraordinarily positive thinking. They use different words. You can tell an extraordinarily positive thinker by the words that they use. They say, oh, well, you ask them, how are they? They say, great, fantastic, terrific. And these extraordinarily positive are motivated by being out of the ordinary. And some examples of extraordinarily positive thinkers are Donald Trump, Mae Jemison, the first African-American astronaut,
right.
Thomas Edison, who tried the light bulb 10,000 times,
right.
You know, he enjoyed being out of the ordinary.
He said, failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
There you go. And then, you know, so you can see whether you're an extraordinarily positive thinker, or most people are mediocre positive thinkers. And it's so interesting because when we do the stats on the audit, we see that truly most people do turn out to be mediocre thinkers. And there are mediocre positive thinkers, and there are mediocre negative thinkers. And the mediocre positive thinkers and negative thinkers are both motivated by being accepted, by being one of the crowd, and they are wonderful in organizations, in admin, and they're kind of the glue.
We need people like that, don't we?
Yeah, they don't make waves. You know, they, if you have a customer that's annoying, you know, they'll be able to deal with nicely. Whereas the extraordinarily positive thinker may also do that, but may be more concerned with outstanding results, whereas the mediocre positive thinker will just want to get by, but they'll want to conform.
Should we give a prospective employee an optimal thinking audit?
Yes, we can. That's what we do. We go in, or they can come in, and they can do an audit, or they can do them online. We have a more sophisticated version that we offer.
Beyond the free one.
Yes, there's a simple test, and the simple test just tells you where you are. Are you a mediocre negative, or are you a negative thinker? You know, or an extraordinarily, a totally negative or extraordinarily negative thinker.
One of the things small business owners can't afford is we can't afford to have negative thinkers in our business.
Well, you know, they can't afford to have them in any place other than quality control. Quality control, they are first rate, Jim, because they catch all the problems.
Right, they're the nitpickers, aren't they?
So that you can resolve them.
Right.
Right? And in any place where you need to catch difficulties, they're going to be a major asset. But otherwise, you know, negative people who are thinking negatively and dwelling on negativity are going to bring themselves down and can bring down the team and the organization.
Do you find that some people sort of like to be negative? They like to dwell in that place?
Well, I think they have that. Many people have the habit of being negative. For example, the extraordinarily negative thinker doesn't like, their motto is, I don't like me and I don't like being like you. Right?
Right.
And, you know, they're motivated by being more than ordinary, out of the norm, remarkable, standing out from the crowd, and they often stand out like a sore thumb.
Well,
they don't have the skills or understand that they can be cooperative and still be outstanding.
Can those people be redeemed?
Everyone can be redeemed by finding out what their driver is. If they're driven by not being ordinary, by being extraordinary, and they don't, and they're fearful, then motivate them in the most positive or optimal way, bearing that in mind.
Rosalind, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to talk some more about this optimal thinking audit with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking, right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblassingame.com or jbsba.com. Either one of those will get you to our site where you can find out more about the stuff we do and the resources, the incredible resources that we have, very unique. You won't find anything else like it anywhere else on the web, the resources that we have available to help you start, run, and grow your small business. And hope you'll take advantage of it. And as you should know, they're all free thanks to our corporate partners. Glickman is one of those outstanding resources. She's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. Today, we're celebrating her third year as a member of our Brain Trust. And her book is called Optimal Thinking, and that's what she does. She talks to people about how to make sure that they are their best self, not just the best self, but the optimal self, right, Rosalind?
The best self, the optimal self, the highest self, whatever you want to call it. And bring out the best in others. Bring out the best in your employees. Bring out the best in your family. And we all are optimal thinkers. The name of the game is just to do it to think optimally as frequently as possible.
I like the idea of that you've talked to us about making sure that as an optimal thinker, we don't just tell ourselves positive thoughts, that we actually also make sure that we're realistic with ourselves about what's going on. And isn't that what happens when people are not effective? They're either too negative, and they don't look for positive thinking, or they're too positive and they don't take into consideration the reality of the situation. Isn't that what causes people to be not as effective as they should be?
Yes, that compromises effectiveness. And also what compromises effectiveness is not seeking the best solution, seeking a good or a great solution. And that's, even if you're positive thinking, you know, you're compromising it by just becoming, by thinking suboptimally. And that's why the audit is so important, because once you discover what your level of thinking is and what the levels of thinking in your organization, then you can figure out how to best interact with each other, how to bring out the best in your employees, how to figure out what not to do. For example, if you talk to a mediocre positive thinker about being outstanding, that's against their nature. But if you because they don't want to be outstanding, but you can.
Why would they not want to be outstanding? What would make somebody not want to be outstanding?
Because they have a great need or a dominant need for acceptance.
And they found comfort in that. They found their level of existence, haven't they?
Right, but if you motivate them, knowing that they're a mediocre positive and that they're motivated by acceptance, if you talk to them in terms of acceptance, you can bring out the best in them. Right?
But when you ask somebody to be outstanding, though, that's the same thing as to a lot of people as asking them to take risks, isn't it?
Right, and some people just not want to, they want to just be regular. They want to be regular. They don't want to be different. They just, it's not in their nature. So you don't want to go against the basic nature of the
And if you've done an audit and you found out
the best.
If you've done an audit and you found out that the person that you're about to hire is like that, you might hire them anyway, but you wouldn't put them in charge of your company.
Well, they could be optimally effective in specific areas.
Right. But not, for example, as the dynamic leader of a company or of a division.
Right. The mediocre positive thinker will not be best suited to leading the company, but you, a mediocre positive thinker can become an optimal thinker, right? They won't want to become an extraordinary thinker, but they'll be becoming an optimal thinker. You can train a mediocre positive thinker to say, what's the best way to handle this? What's our best solution? But they won't want to just be, what's the most outstanding thing I can do? Mm-hmm. How can I be most remarkable here?
Rosaline, I want you to give us your website again, because I want folks to know how to take the audit. Go ahead and
it's
do that.
It's optimalthinking.com. OPTIMALTHINKING.
Rosaline, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure, and happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely thrilled to know it's 3 years.
Thank you. Dr. Rosaline Glickman, ladies and gentlemen, Optimal Thinking. The book is optimalthinking.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.